calling all video game, toy, and comic vendors. Saturday, May 30th at the Superkick Columbus Indoor Soccer Arena in Lewis Center, Ohio, comes the 2020 Torg Gaming Expo. The Torg Gaming Expo will offer a wide variety of comics, toys, video games, as well as door prizes, art, arcades, special guest panels, and video game tournaments. The Expo will be hosting the Classic Tetris World Championship Midwest Qualifier during this event. Finalists will win a trip to Oregon for the finals and a cash grand prize. For vendors who would like to attend the Expo, don't miss the Early Bird Special, where you get an 8-foot table for $40 until February 1st. Want to be involved with the Expo but don't want a table? Become a sponsor. Multiple spots are available and will be advertised to attendees, but act fast because spots are limited. The 2020 Torg Gaming Expo, presented by the Canned Air Podcast. For more details or to sign up as a vendor or sponsor, go to torgevents.com.
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the bug that splatters across the windshield of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, and I'm listening to the Canned Air Podcast. How about you?
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us this week, we have a creator, well, the creator of a game, a character, I should say, but you might remember best as a Sega game that was on the shelf called Shakan the Forever Man. I mean, as soon as I saw that cover, as soon as you showed it to me, boy, it come rushing back. It come rushing back real quick. But we're not only going to talk about that, but the other incarnations these characters, this character has seen. We welcome Robert Krause, also known as Rack, to the show. Robert, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, my pleasure. Glad to be.
We're going
to
have a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about cult classic video games, movies,
TV shows,
whatever qualifies in the realm of cult classic. I think Jack kind of informed me one of my picks isn't going to count, but we will see about that, Jack. We will see. And then after we do that, we're going to turn our full attention over to Rack and talk more about Shakan the Forever Man and everything that goes with it. But before we do that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing and want to show your support, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod and you can become a patron. For $5 a month, you get access to the Canned Air Patreon Pod and all the fun goodies we have coming down the pike. It's taking a little longer than I expected, but we're getting there.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah, a lot of cool things coming. So, again, look out for that. Gentlemen, what am I forgetting? Anything?
No.
Anything Wizard World related?
Nope. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
And away we go!
I'll be back. Shut up!
All right, gentlemen. Cult classics, movies, television, shows, and video games. Where do we start? How about I start? I never start.
There you go.
There you go.
How about that?
Jeremy, how about you start?
Okay, here's one I just don't get. And this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion. But The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm right there with you.
I mean, it's like 20 years after it came out, like, is when it, like, hit its stride. It seemed like Hot Topic couldn't pack their fucking walls tight enough with that merchandise.
It was always popular, but then, yeah, it did seem to blow up all of a sudden out of nowhere.
I remember when it came. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
You know, I'm going to have to disagree. I think it was a seminal film. I think he brought back the stop clock animation stuff that Ray Harryhausen used to do in the old Sinbad movies and stuff. And it had a distinct look. And for an artist or a creator to have a look that is instantly recognizable as their own, I mean, that's a hard thing to do with all the artists that have been around. So I got to give him credit, dude.
Oh, I'm not taking any credit from it. I just don't get the cult classic following to it. It's a gorgeous movie, but when I sit and watch the movie, I can't get pulled into it for some reason. I've tried several times and I can't get pulled into it. I'm not a musical kind of person. Maybe that's
that
what
could
it
be
is.
It too. Yeah.
You know, I'm more.
Yeah, I will not say it's a shitty looking film. Definitely beautiful. I'm sorry.
I was saying maybe it's because it's more visual film for me. I'm a visual person, and the visuals are obviously a lot more impactful than the storyline.
Right. That's why I opened with this unpopular opinion. I mean, I get there's probably a lot of people gritting their teeth right now, too.
We're throwing down in the first 5 minutes.
They press stop.
I'm not fucking around today.
I'm not listening to this show anymore. They don't like Nightmare Before Christmas.
All right. Let's jump over to Robert. Cult classic.
You know, I like, as far as a cult classic for a movie, that's a tough one. I would probably say the old beef science fiction movies are the ones I always like.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Like War of the Worlds, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Them, the giant ants. But probably my favorite in the more recent period, the last 30 years, would be The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. That movie is a perfect sci-fi movie. It's a perfect horror movie and a perfect thriller. So for me, my ultimate cult classic movie would be The Thing, John Carpenter.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I've never
Kurt
seen
Russell
it.
One?
Yes, yeah.
I still don't know if I can make it through that whole movie watching that from watching when I was little. And they're supposed to be doing a remake of it again.
Come on.
I just read this.
Really?
Weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, they always try to remake John Carpenter's movie, and I just wish they would quit. I mean, the guys. You know, we do The Fog and it sucks. You know, it's just leave it alone. He's a master at his craft. Just don't remake his movies.
Right.
There's no way it'll be as scary as it was. No way.
I guarantee you it'll be all CG.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It was practical effects then because it had to be.
Was this like in the ice tundra or something?
Yeah.
I need to watch that. I've never seen it, but I've heard you guys talk about it so many times. I felt like I've seen it.
Just thinking about it's unsettling for me.
Yeah. Yes.
All I can think of is Empire Strikes Back, the big hairy monster that comes out and gets him. All right. Who would like to go next?
Go, Randy.
Okay, I'll go. So, completely different vein than The Thing, but this is Spinal Tap.
Oh, I knew that one was going to come up. Yeah.
My dad had the DVD, and I was just, I remember getting it. I'm like, what is this? Popping it in, and I was laughing my ass off
it
the entire
so
time.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the whole thing. I've seen probably the best clips of it.
It slows down a little bit, I think, towards the end there. But there's so many funny parts like in there, like with "But it goes to 11."
Yeah. No, that's the most well known.
Yeah. when he gets stuck in that fucking pod playing the bass guitar,
yes. Or the midgets dancing around the crucifix.
Is that politically correct, Randy? Midget?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
little people.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Nice correction.
Yes, I tried.
Well, that movie was made when they were doing, you know, comedies that were not politically correct, like, Blazing Saddles.
Right.
That, which is, you know, those are great movies. I still watch them whenever they're on. They're great.
My dad was telling me apparently they made a sequel to that, but it's just like a live concert.
A sequel to?
The Spinal Tap.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was like Spinal Tap on tour or something. What were you saying, Robert?
I said, I've not heard of that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I know my dad, 80s rock guy, was also into the Band-Aid musical charity movement. Mm-hmm. And the two of the actors like had roles in that, which blew my mind after I found that out.
I don't know if that really surprises me because, I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah. I guess it didn't. I just had always looked at that as like serious artists.
But they had a whole album, didn't they? Spinal Tap?
Yeah, there's an album you can get.
That's like the Blues Brothers actually had an album.
Yeah. Just for our listeners who might be at home wondering what the fuck all the beeping is that you're hearing in the background, if you can hear it, I'm sure you can because it's loud as hell in my ears. There's construction work happening across the street. So
at 8:30 in the evening.
Happy fucking day. Happy day. Anyway, Randy, would you like to go next? Or was that your pick?
I did, yeah.
Did you already go?
Nope, it's my turn.
Go ahead.
Donnie Darko.
Oh,
I knew that was going to poke its head
did
out.
Did you
somewhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's.
I mean,
that
it's,
so
it's
easy,
the cult classic of cult classics,
pretty
right?
much. And I have no. I still every time I watch that movie, I'm still like, "What the hell happened?" And then I go and search the internet and find all kind of different like papers people have written on exactly what's going on with the name of the book that I can't remember that he found about time travel or something like that.
I I watched it years ago, and I was just like, eh, I didn't care to figure it out, you know. But one thing that always stuck with me was the, because didn't like an airplane engine fall through the ceiling of the house onto his bed?
That's when, yeah, it all started. Everything started.
Right. And there's something about that. Like, I have those kind of bad odds. Like, if you guys were to ever hear that would happen to me, I can't imagine you'd be surprised, you know?
Like, he'll be back.
Yeah.
No, just like, yeah, that's about his luck. Yeah. Airplane engine.
It's bound to happen sooner or later. It's just a matter of which day.
Did it hit the toys?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah, no shit. No shit.
Then
all
they
right.
came out with the second movie, the sequel, which was about his sister, but it was stupid.
Oh, they had. I didn't even know they had a sequel.
Yeah, I thought I'd watch it just to DVD. See. I think so, yeah.
Kind of like the Blair Witch 2. That wasn't straight to DVD, but man, it should have been. Ooh, that was bad. That was bad. How about Family Guy? Now, it was only the cult following that brought this show back from the dead. Because remember, they did, what, three seasons?
Yeah, and it did get
canceled.
And it
got canceled, and it disappeared for years. And, the demand for it, I think they made a movie or something, right?
Yeah, the Star Wars movie? Or no.
I don't remember what they did. Maybe I'm thinking of Futurama. Because that actually happened with Futurama,
too. Futurama did have a movie, that's right.
But, they brought it back, and it's still freaking going to this day. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I mean,
these animated shows have done really well. Like, you know, The Simpsons, the longest running show, Family Guy. I mean, it's really neat to see, you know, the adult style animation doing so well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen the new Family Guy in a long time.
It's been a little while for me, too.
I don't know how the show's holding up. I don't hear people talk about it like I used to.
Mm-mm.
But
same with South Park. You don't hear people talk about that as much either.
Yeah.
That's true, but
I've
got to
tell
you,
it's a cult following because there are those people that do. So it's just kind of, it's not out in the mainstream as much. There's that small group that lives and dies by it all the time and watches it.
South Park is so freaking good. It's amazing to me how it manages to keep itself fresh and clever and, you know, new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this whole last season, Randy had the whole weed farm, Tegrity Farms.
No,
and
so, you're talking about that.
You know, it not only
not me.
Was he doing that in the show, but the, like, when the opening theme song to the show was changed, like, going down to Tegrity Farms, gonna have our, you know, it's just nice to break away from the usual for a season there and just go on with this ride. And you never know where it's going to go because it's South Park and they're just so weird sometimes.
They're pretty fearless, so they really do put it out there, everything. So it's neat.
Yeah, didn't they get, like, death threats or something for, like, showing, like, Muhammad in, like, the 300th episode or something?
I don't
remember. I remember, like, they yanked it really quick off the website.
I know that
was a huge thing for that episode, was that they were going to show him or something like that.
Yeah, and yeah.
I don't know if it ever was real. It might have been.
I think it... I can't remember.
It's a hell of a publicity stunt if not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no kidding.
But, it's a good show. It's amazing what they can get away with. 23 seasons now they have under their belt, and they still, like, make me go, holy shit.
You can't believe what you're watching on TV.
Right.
Yeah, you really can sometimes. That's why I love it. That's why I keep coming back for it. But anyway, we are back around to Robert now.
Okay, is it cult movies or...
Whatever you want, everything. Sir. Any cult movie, TV show, game, anything.
I'll go with maybe a cult video game.
Okay.
Since that's what Shaykhan is. He was a cult video game. That's the character I created from Sega. And it was kind of cool because he's always had a cult following, small following, and it ended up being a video game all over the world. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about that, too. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tight. That's going to be tight to hear more about. But he's a cool character. Isn't
yeah.
He? Oh, those big swords and shit.
Yeah.
He looks awesome. Yeah, and I can't wait to hear more about that myself. That's going to be sweet.
So I don't know how to classify this, but anytime I think cult classic, I think of something that didn't get a lot of mainstream attention and had a very passionate fan base. And if I say Homestar Runner...
Oh,
there you go.
Boy.
So, yes, especially the Strong Bad emails. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
I struggle if I don't at least reference those at least once a month anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's... you know about it, you love it, and if you don't know about it...
It's impacted my life. My cat that I had for, 16 years that I just lost the past few years, his name was The Cheat. That came straight from that show.
Yeah.
I've got a Strong Bad album somewhere. I've got a sweatshirt with Strong Bad on it somewhere. Yeah, I loved... that website and watching all those, but it sucked because for the longest time you could only watch it on that teeny tiny little Flash player.
Yeah, because Flash was going out of date.
Yeah, well, they finally upgraded everything to YouTube, so you can watch all those Strong Bad emails.
Great, nice. Now. Sweet.
But yeah, that's some good shit.
Yeah, that, also the,
Teen Girl Squad.
Yes,
the ugly one.
Watch to this day, face.
To this day, every time I get a broken link. A 404 error on screen. I shout out 404.
Did you guys see?
Possumed.
Last year they had a Kickstarter for a Trogdor.
The Trogdor game. Yes. Yeah. So wanted to get in on that, but it was expensive.
I do remember that. Yeah. Did it ever come to fruition?
I think they were funded.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Yeah. It'd be horrible if they didn't.
But yeah.
I want to say it was like $40 or something like that for the lowest tier game.
Yeah, it was expensive. Pricey.
Now you can burninate the countryside.
Yeah.
Man.
I think we need to end the episode on this Trogdor theme if possible.
I've got it. I've got the extended one too.
Oh, nice.
Did you ever play the
Needly and Noodly guitars?
The Guitar Hero Trogdor?
Yes.
Oh my god, it was so freaking hard. I remember I downloaded it and tried playing it. I was like, nope, I'll never play this one again. I get a bunch of booze all over the place.
Oh my god. Yeah, that was a good pick. Homestar Runner, man. That takes me back. I was about that shit. Jack, what we got?
Mine is pretty much three video games. I think it's really two because the third one I didn't play, but it falls in the same category. It was called Eco.
It's about dolphin?
No, that's Echo.
Oh,
this one. I know how to read.
PlayStation 2, I think it was, and it was a Japanese game, and it was set in the fantasy world. And this little Japanese kid with horns, and you had to drag him, this girl, through this whole world. And these weird ghosts came around. It was real weird. The animation was amazing. There's really no dialogue in the whole game. It was a lot of puzzles, but it went along with another game that was called Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, that one I'm familiar with.
That one, Eco, I think was... Shadow of the Colossus was supposed to be from the first of the story, I guess, because at the end, there's a baby that has horns in the end.
Okay, now you're saying that, I know what game. I was thinking like more cartoony.
No.
Okay, all right.
And then the Last Guardian, I think it was for PlayStation 4, came out with a big ferret, bird, rat... animal that runs around that one I didn't get to play with. I didn't get to play. It didn't get good reviews because it was like PS3 graphics on the PS4, so it was kind of outdated and a lot of people didn't like it. But yeah, that game, Shadow of the Colossus especially, that game was so intense. It wasn't even funny. And then they remastered it so it looks even better.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize that was part of the series. So.
Yeah.
Huh.
Cool games.
Eco.
Eco, yep.
Not to be confused with Echo the Dolphin.
ICO.
ICO. Huh. I don't know how I missed that. Something about it sounds familiar, though. I feel like if I saw it, maybe it would have to look it up.
I don't know if it's a game you'd play. Maybe.
Probably not. Probably not. But, I don't play many games anymore, do I? All right, so are we back to me?
Yep.
Yep.
I have the Big Lebowski down here.
Okay.
I think that counts as a cult classic.
Easily.
Film,
hell
right?
Yeah.
And damn, what a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the first time I watched that movie, when it was over, I was like, I don't get it. What's it about?
That's what I thought. I didn't think that was a big one for you.
Well, it wasn't at first, but then like a few days after it, I was like, I couldn't get it out of my head. Like so many things about it kept coming up in my head. I was like, I think I need to watch that movie again. And after the second watch, man, I was in it hardcore. Even John Goodman's like, shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Oh, God, yeah, that's the best.
Oh, that made me lose my shit. I mean, anything that Jeff Bridges did in that movie was hilarious. No. He dropped his roach and he hit that dumpster.
That's the best part. I think about that one all the time.
Hit the hell
he just swerved and just plowed into that dumpster.
I do a lot of show conventions all over the country, and I almost every show there's a cosplay of the Big Lebowski.
You
always see him wandering around the convention. Some of them are really awesome.
The most comfortable guy in the whole building, for sure. Yeah.
I would love to be like him, just sail through life, not really caring. Yeah. Don't take offense to nothing, just
trying to get your rug replaced. Yeah. Man, Flea was in that movie too. Remember? Wasn't he one of the German artists?
Yeah. Are you an Eagles fan?
Are you asking me or is it something from the
asking
film?
You.
Yeah, I like the Eagles.
Do you? That kills me when they're in the car, when he's in the taxi and they're playing the Eagles. He's just like, can you turn this off? I fucking hate the Eagles. Yeah. Kick him out of the cab.
I like the Eagles. Yeah, I dig the Eagles. Was it like Hotel California or something? Or
it might have been Take It Easy, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. There's some. I enjoy some songs, but I think it's that one. If I ever hear, I'm just like, oh my god. But maybe it's referring to the movie
New Kid in Town from the New Kids from the Hotel California. Mm-hmm. That's such a good song. But that and Hotel California and just, you know, their hits, obviously. It's funny, though. The last time I saw Tom Petty live, Joe Walsh opened for him. And, you know, I know a few Joe Walsh songs, but I wasn't really thinking much of it. That was such a good show. I had no idea how much Joe Walsh stuff I actually knew.
Isn't it weird when that happens?
Yes. I was like, he does this one too?
It was like that for me when I saw Chicago one year. I was like, crap. I had no idea they did all these songs.
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a good time. Such a good concert. Yeah. I would definitely go see him or him with the Eagles. Yeah, for sure. I can't agree with the dude there. Robert, did you have any more cult classic picks?
Yeah, this one here is one of those ones people either love or they hate. It was a TV series as well as a series of movies. It's kind of like a horror movie, but it has a humor to it. It's called Tremors. And underground beasts in the desert, and I just really dig those. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of in the vein of like Starship Troopers and the first RoboCop, where, you know, it has a little bit of humor and satire in with the sci-fi and cool creatures.
It's truly horrifying, though. I mean, if you think about it, like anywhere you step on the ground, you are vulnerable. So it's like, where do you go?
Well, and then the second one when they grew legs, I think Kevin Bacon was in that one.
He was in the first one.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're up to like six movies now. And, you know, a couple of them aren't very good, but the last one, they went to Antarctica and there was a whole other type of tremor beast. And it was pretty fun. I think they're on Netflix or something, but they're pretty fun to watch.
Wow, awesome.
I heard something about them bringing that back again somewhere. I don't know if it was a series.
Reboot,
I think
reboot.
Tremors
10, still tremming.
It's kind of like Sharknado, but underground.
Have you guys ever seen the Puppet Master movies with the little puppets from Full Moon Productions?
But I know what puppet you're talking about. Little like black top hat and hair, white face.
Yes. Very cool thing. And there's a series of those. I think you can watch them for free on like Tubi or something. But those are neat. And there's like 10 of those. And, you know, it's like one of those things where I had seen the first one years ago and I thought, okay, that was it. That was pretty cool. And then, you know, I saw that they had made like 10 more. It's, you know, like Hellraiser. They keep making them.
Wow.
Even though you never see them in the theater, then you just stumble across them.
Right.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Who would like to go next?
Randy.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, Robert, you're going to have to jump in on this if you want to, but you were talking B-movies earlier, and anytime I hear a B-movie, the first thing I always think of is Plan 9 from Outer Space. Literally one of the worst, best movies ever. When was that, like 50s, Robert?
Yeah, it definitely was. Okay. And the weird bald guy, I forget his name, but he was in a lot of those early B-movies.
Yes.
And
Bela Lugosi, that was his last acting role before he died, and he died halfway through production. So they got, like, Ed Wood's dentist to, like, reprise him, and he just held the cape over his face the entire time.
Really?
And, like, all the spaceships, you see, like, the wires and stuff, and it's so bad.
Very low budget, man. Roger Corman, both of them, you know, they were very, very much doing it for pennies.
But yeah, it's one of those that you just gotta watch and laugh. It's hilarious.
What's it called again?
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
It sounds familiar.
It's spoofed all the time, but it's
that's
great.
Probably why, that's probably yeah. why. Yeah,
I do watch it and be like, oh my god, another one. That's where this came from.
Oh, I'm sorry. Another one in that vein is called Robot Monster, and it's just a guy with a gorilla suit with like an old diving bell helmet. Round one. So that's his whole costume, and it's like, it's so bad.
But I've seen clips of that.
I am not a Roman, I am a human.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys ever seen that old movie? I think it's called This Island Earth. That when they did the Mystery Science Theater movie, that's the movie they riffed on.
Okay.
But it had these very iconic, if you saw them, you'd know them, big bug-eyed, exposed brain aliens.
Yeah, the Metaluna mutants.
Yes. And they were bleeding like this green ooze shit. Yeah. But they had these claw hands that you could tell were just like big glove things that fit on the end of these guys' hands in the outfit. So they would always just droop way down. Like when they'd reach out for the victim, they would be drooping toward the ground, these hooks. So it's just funny to see those old costumes and stuff.
It's hilarious. My, for my birthday a couple years ago, my family got me it's a 50 DVD pack. It paid $10 for it, but it's all those old junky sci-fi movies. Mm. And there's one that's Santa Claus Invades Mars or something like that. But you just gotta watch them and just laugh your ass off at some of that stuff.
That's typically what I do with Walker Texas Ranger. When I'm up for a good laugh, I put that in and just kick back and laugh my ass silly, because it's some ridiculous shit, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god, Jack, what do you got?
The show that taught me what college was really like, Community.
Cult classic.
Yeah, that's got a cult
following. Yeah, I guess it does. It must, because hasn't it jumped platform and network two or three times? Didn't it start on NBC, then it ended up, I thought, on a different network, and then it jumped to an online?
That's right, yeah. I think after Chevy Chase left after one season or something like that, it jumped to... TBS or something like that.
You know,
that,
I'm ruined on that asshole, because I've learned within the past few years that he's a complete ass.
Mm-hmm.
That working with him is unbearable. Anyone that ever worked with him said he's just horrible to work with. So anytime I see him now, because I was always man, why isn't he in more episodes of The Community? Well, you know now why. Because he's an asshole. But
just knew that paycheck.
Yeah. He was funny, though, on that show. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed him. Well, especially there was an episode where they played Dungeons & Dragons that I think he was a part of that was really good.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. It was the last two seasons, I didn't say. I haven't seen the G.I. Joe one, unfortunately, yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I don't know how I would have seen that, and you haven't. That was a good one.
Well, we were binge-watching it a while ago.
Would they animate the whole... episode?
Yeah, I know. It's in season 8 or something. It's towards the end.
Yeah.
But we ended up buying the seasons because we had no way to watch it, and we wanted to watch it and keep going because it was so good.
It's a good show, for sure.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Chunk it out, Randy.
I'll chunk it out.
Chunk it out. All right. Where are we at here? We're at 30 minutes. What do you guys think?
I can go another round.
Let's go another round. I have The Simpsons written here, though, despite what some of you might think. I would have to say it's a cult-followed show, no?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's been around forever, so there's definitely got a following. And the toys are big. People collect their toys like crazy. They've done everybody.
Really? Robert Jeremy's literally sitting on, 300 square feet of Simpsons toys in his basement?
I've got so many Simpsons toys in my basement. It's sick. Awesome.
They're clever. They're good. Well done.
They are. They were. They were, I should say. I feel Simpsons Prime was season 2 to 11 or 12. And after that, it just kind of becomes a different show. A lot of the writers change. The humor changes. It's more punchline humor than, something you got to think about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But it's got to be hard to keep that freshness. I mean, how many stories can you do? You got to give them credit for... just hanging on that long. It's a lot of work.
And that's a good thing to mention there, Robert, because, some of these later seasons, before and around 30, they're past 30 now, right? They've got to be.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
I know it's the longest running. So,
but they were changing their openings, like letting like outside animators like take over the openings to the show.
And,
like,
the Rick and Morty one.
Yeah, and like letting like the shows carry odd themes. And at the time, I was like, man, what are they doing with this show? I don't want to watch this. But at the same time, you know, like Robert said, it's 30 years old. You know, how are you going to keep writing something and keep it fresh and new? And, you know, Homer's worked about every fucking job you can work out there, done everything you can think of, you know? I don't know, but it's weird because as much as I don't keep up with it now, there's like a part of my heart is going to break the day they say that show goes away. Because it's one of those constants that's been in my life. It came on the air when I was in second grade, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah.
And to... I don't know, be in a world that, I mean, of course it'll always be here, especially now with streaming and FX, it's on 24/7.
Always gonna be on, yeah.
But I don't know, there's something about it that will definitely break my heart when that show gets canceled.
Between Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park, I wonder, out of the three, which one's going to last the longest?
Most longevity, you mean?
Like, go on longer.
Or you just mean have, like, the longest, like, stacked seasons?
Yeah, like, just... Which one's going to get canceled last?
South Park is just going to hang the fuck in there until the Simpsons kill over and go one over. That seems...
To produce that animation, that they probably could do it, you know, even if the ratings aren't the greatest, it's not that expensive to produce, so they probably will keep going.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a Simpsons episode, I think, takes about 6 months to fully produce, you know, after shipping it off to animators, getting it back, syncing everything, where South Park, they do that all in a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and, you know, there's obviously there's a big difference in the animations. But, right.
And South Park just goes off of current events, and Simpsons doesn't really so much. I mean, they
do, but by the time they get to it, it's old news. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that was a funny.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's the advantage of South Park. You know, they can be topical because they can whip it out in a week. The animation, everything. So they're able to stay while it's current, and that's helped them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing them talk about the presidential debate with Trump and Hillary Clinton. You know, and nobody thought Trump was going to win. So you know, they had geared that whole episode toward her winning, and then overnight, like, they were watching the polls, they're like, oh shit, we've got to remake this episode going the other way. Like, it's crazy to have that that much control. I don't know, you know, I can't imagine being that, the stress that must, like, put on people, because have you ever seen
there.
Have you ever seen, like, say, I think it was 6 days to Air, the documentary about,
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's so good. You need to watch it. It's about a week at the South Park studios, them producing an episode.
Right. Mm.
And they're sitting there talking, you know, how is it? The show goes, what is that, Wednesday that show is new?
I think it was on Wednesdays.
So they'll take Thursday, Friday off, then I think they're back in there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You know, sometimes they don't have the story even finished until, like, Monday night.
Oh, jeez.
Nuts.
That is crazy.
That's loose.
That is very loose. I can't. It's imagined to think that they haven't dropped the ball in all those years. You know, with that kind of something. You know, something goes so haywire that, like, we can't make deadline on this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They've got to have so many people up there to be able to keep throwing, because it can't be just Matt and Trey anymore.
Right. Well,
of course not. It's not. There's a whole team of people, of animators and stuff. They just write the scripts in a room there, and then they run out and throw it at the people. They animate it, they put it all together, you know. But they were talking about their lawyers having to sit on the phone and to see what they can get away with saying on TV. This woman's like, it's nothing out of the ordinary to be on the phone with someone like, okay, yes, this is so-and-so at South Park. Yes, I'm just calling to see if it's okay if we show semen coming out of an anus. Okay, we can't do that. Okay, can we, you know, just like... Just the crazy shit that she was talking about. It was nuts.
Because you know those guys are pushing it.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Yeah. Always. Anyway, that's my South Park soapbox for the day. So, who's next?
Robert.
Robert.
Okay, I'll go with an old school, since we're talking about cartoons. I used to always love the Hanna-Barbera superheroes, like Mighty Mitor, Space Ghost, the Herculoids. And those, I think, you still see the toys being made here and there today, and the comic books keep coming back. So I think they have a cult following. I think people, even younger people, have watched an episode here and there of those.
Yeah. I forgot about the Herculoids.
Oh yeah, I don't even remember those, to be honest.
Those were the ones with the two, like, yellow jelly looking guys.
Yes, and
the
Gleep and Gloop.
Yeah, Gloop and Gleep.
Yep, yep.
But when I was, everybody wanted like a, you know, a Triceratops that could shoot, you know, rock missiles out of his horns.
Yeah. And that flying dragon thing.
Oh, Zock, yeah.
Yep, that shoot light, shot lightning bolts out of its tail or whatever.
Yeah, it was cool stuff.
Hanna-Barbera did Johnny Quest too, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I often wonder about Hanna-Barbera. I was going to say Hanna-Barbarian. Hanna-Barbera. But I ought to get on Google and look, because I could probably easily be answered. But I just wonder where that property, where all those properties are hanging now, because you just don't see or hear anything really from Hanna-Barbera. I mean, except for like the Scooby-Doo straight-to-DVD movies. There was a Harvey Birdman season that came out a year or two ago. And Flintstones vitamins. I mean, what else is there?
Pop. The Funko Pop of everybody that they ever had.
Right.
I just wish somebody could resurrect a lot of those characters. Those are good characters.
Yeah.
The Flintstones. Yogi Bear. Huckleberry Hound. Yeah. Underdog. He wasn't Hanna-Barbera, was he? I don't think he was.
I don't think so.
No.
The pink? Not the Pink Panther, but... what was he? He was a Hanna-Barbera character.
Oh, crap.
Accent's Stange Right.
Yeah.
Snagglepuss.
Yes. Captain Caveman.
Well, they had Huckleberry Hound, Yogi Bear, and Boo Boo. They had a wide range. They did some monster stuff like the little Frankenstein Jr. He was like a Frankenstein robot with his little buddy that helped him. A lot of real, like you said, a lot of good characters that probably would do well, and you know, if they could get the rights to them.
Yeah, Hong Kong Phooey,
the Smurfs.
Yeah,
the Smurfs are a big one, and I guess those movies are being made. But I imagine somebody's just sitting on that property somewhere. It'd be cool to see someone like Disney take it and revamp it and push it back out into the world.
Don't give another one to Disney.
Well,
they're the only one that could do anything good.
I was going to say no one else is doing anything with it.
Outside of Cartoon Network, are those even available for streaming, a lot of that stuff?
Maybe Cartoon Network owns that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know YouTube has a lot of the old stuff. Like I said, I'm a little bit older, so, well, probably a lot older than you guys. I'm about 60. But a lot of those cartoons that I like Mighty Mouse and all that stuff, you can go to YouTube. They have a lot of those on there.
Gotcha.
I see.
What's Boomerang run by? Because those, I think...
Same Cartoon Network.
Is it Cartoon Network? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they played a lot of Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Remember King's Island? Used to be
All Hanna-Barbera
when we were growing up. Yeah, that was really fun.
What are they now?
Nothing.
Peanuts. I was just there.
Oh, that's right.
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Who's having fun with the Peanuts?
I don't know. They've kind of dwindled away to nothing.
What kid says, ooh, Charlie Brown? Cool.
The kid that gets bullied all the time.
Good grief. Or it's Linus. Look.
Kid that sucks his thumb and carries a blank.
He's so cool.
You know, it's funny because that was the number one, like, property cartoon or comic strip wise, you know, during the 60s and even through the 70s and 50s. And you know what killed it for me? I think, you know, when Calvin and Hobbes came, Calvin and Hobbes was so good. That, you know, just you forgot about everybody else. I mean, you know, Bill Watterson with the Calvin and Hobbes, just you know, it was a perfect comic strip. And I think it kind of made Peanuts look kind of dated, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I this is another instance where I don't want to seem like I'm talking down on Peanuts, because I love the Peanuts. Those are some of the first comics I ever grew up on. Along with those Garfield books I used to tell you about, Peanuts books were some good comics. Just, they don't belong in an amusement park. That's not the level of excitement Charlie Brown brings, I don't think. But I think they had Nickelodeon before Peanuts. Yeah. So, you know, that's quite a step down from SpongeBob and Hey Arnold, all Charlie Brown. This trendy shit to what was trendy back in the day. But I'm not running an amusement park either, so what the fuck do I know? And on that note, I think we could we can move forward. Yeah. And now let's turn our attention over to Rack and talk more about Shaykhan, the Forever Man. And I want to thank you, Robert, for being here. I'm so excited to talk about this. When Randy put this in front of me, you know, I was researching it. He said it had been a Sega game, and I was like, okay, let me see the cover. And when as soon as he showed it to me, boy, it came rushing back. Mm-hmm. And if it's coming rushing back to me, it's going to come rushing back to a lot of people out there. So I'm so very curious, one, to if we could start maybe just hearing about the character himself and then maybe kind of your inspiration for the character and how it evolved into everything it's become.
Well, the character Shaykhan, he's kind of a combination of three loves that I had was the old pulp books that were reprinted in the 70s, things like Doc Savage and The Shadow and all those, mm-hmm. Comic books, which I've collected my whole life. So he's kind of like a comic book character. And then like Men's Adventures paperbacks, kind of like the Mac Bolan Executioner, the Destroyer novels. He's kind of like a meld of all those three things into this character I created. And, you know, it's just been a neat little thing to see him evolve from a little sketchbook drawing. And then I became one of the first independent publishers in the country in the early 80s. And then it was picked up by Sega, went worldwide, and he's done 36 graphic novellas I have out on the character, as well as you know, a new action figure was just released. That's really cool. Lots of different appearances of him as that, too. So it's kind of neat. He's taken me all around the country. I do San Diego Comic-Con every year. I do New York Comic-Con every year and shows all over the country. So it's kind of been nice.
I would say so. It's got to be an incredible feeling, like you said, to go from sketchbook to playing it on a Sega Entertainment Center to seeing it in 36 books. I mean, an action figure form. Now, video gamer, no, action figure, that's how you know.
That's the top.
That's the top tier, right? At least in my book.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat to have a character that just was a figment of your imagination, and then you get to play it on a video game, and then later on you get to play with it as an action figure. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's not too bad.
Has it ever ceased to be surreal?
No. I grew up in the inner city of Akron, Ohio, and you know, I never dreamt that I would, you know, travel the country and have fans all over the world and people collecting my work like they do. So it's been a really neat thing.
So how did this then end up under the nose of Sega first? I mean, was this something you were just like sending out, or was there a book out already that they had seen and then caught wind of? How did it end up as a video game?
I had created the character. He was a backup feature in a book I did called Thunder Mace, which is, like I said, one of the first independent books back when there was like me, the Turtles, ElfQuest. There was just a few of us trying to do our own thing. You know, we had different ideas than traditional comics. We weren't doing things like the big two, you know, more independent, you know, ideas. Right. And like I said, I didn't really want to draw a character with the skin tight, you know, spandex costume or something like that. I wanted something more sword and spell, sword and sorcery, in kind of like in the mythos of, you know, Robert E. Howard's Conan or Elric of Melonborn, you know, those type of characters. So, you know, I created this whole mythos of this character who challenged death to a fight, and he actually won, but he got cursed. You know, he was fighting for immortality, and he kind of got his gift of immortality, but with it came a curse, and he had to wear the face of death. That's why his face is very skull-like, and he had to hunt down supernatural evils. And at night when he tries to sleep, as the demons are attacking a victim far in a far corner of the world somewhere, he feels that, you know, every bite, every claw strike. Wow. So he really has a miserable existence, and the whole series is him. He was stripped of his magic by death, is him slowly rebuilding so he can rematch death, and so that he can end the curse. And Sega actually were kind of intrigued that he was one character that was actually trying to die. You know, he was trying, you know, like most video games, you want more life. Well, Shaykhan was a guy that didn't want to live. So it was kind of a, it was interesting for them. But they picked up the book and they passed it around the offices and everybody was like, this character is very cool. And they contacted me. We negotiated it. And I worked with them for 14 months and putting the video game together. It's kind of like putting a small budget movie together. You know, you had the art director, the music guy, the animators, the sprite guys. You had, you know, the whole little crew there. And they loved working on them. They loved working on them. I mean, they were used to doing the Sonic the Hedgehog, the more cute type stuff. And, right. You know, they were digging. And they made it very dark, which is – the character is dark. It's more for, you know, 16 and over. It's kind of like a, you know, PG-13 to R-rated, I would say, that the books are. They're not for little kids. It's not, you know, Casper the Ghost. So it was, for them to do a video game, you know, it was intense, and they did a great job with it. You know, years later, Ed, the guy that was the game director, he said, you know what? We had Spawn before Spawn, and we didn't even know it, you know? And I think in a lot of ways,
that's true.
I was one of the first ones breaking that type of ground.
And I think I dig your character more than I do Spawn, honestly. I mean, it's
bad, but my mythos is a little bit more involved. I mean, I have a, you know, he's wandering through this thing called the Journey of 100 Candles, and this spell is unwinding and slowly being destroying creation itself, and he has to go in there and he's teleported all over the place, and he has to find out what's wrong in that part of the thing and correct it. You got to, you know, fight this monster over here and this situation over here, and that it keeps it fresh. Some books can be a horror story, like, you know, the Gore Pit, and others can be, you know, just an action. You know, he's got to fight his way through a intergalactic prison to, you know, to solve the puzzle of that particular book or story. So it's neat.
Yeah, I would say so. Now you were saying that as far as the video game design goes, you were involved. You said it was a 14-week process?
No, 14-month.
14-month. Holy cow. So,
yeah, and that was back then. They're a lot longer now for right. some of them.
So you were brought in on all aspects, on like visual, sound, like you were there for all of that.
Yeah, I had the right of first approval drafted into my contract. I wasn't familiar with the video game market at the time, and I wanted to keep integrity to the character. I didn't want like some goofy little sidekick guy, you know, because I had seen like Pac-Man and, you know, the Sonic type right. stuff, and I was like, you know, that's not my character, man. He's not like this happy-go-lucky thing jumping around grabbing rings. You know, he kills things. That's what he does. That's his mission, you know, And so when I signed that, then I had approval of the music, the look, the backgrounds, and I designed most of the big bosses. And a lot of the other artists out there help with the little guys that are flying around here and there. But it was fun. It was a very much a learning experience for me. So
how cool!
That's why I liked Sega, because they were the darker one.
they did. They ended up doing some really creative games. I mean, the Shinobi, all that stuff was a lot of fun. The side scroll action games, they're still fun to me. I mean, obviously graphics are so much better nowadays and stuff, but those are still very playable and have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Now, Shaykhan was very difficult. We had a choice. We didn't have much memory. The carts were less than a meg, so there was a choice. You could have three more levels of content or a save feature, you know, and we went with the three levels of content. So because you can't save as you go along, it became, you know, it was voted by Sega Magazine in the top three hardest games Sega made. So
right on.
Wow.
But you know what? Every show all over the country, people come up to me and they love it. They're like, very few come up to me and say they beat it. But almost all of them come up and say, I love it. I spent hours trying to get this guy to win. You know, they pull for the character. And it kind of fits the storyline because he's, you know, he's in a bad spot. He's like, you know, this cursed person who's trying to, you know, has to slog through hell to, you know, to get release from it. So it's kind of, you experience that if you play the game. You're slogging
to get to the end like you want.
But it's not too bad.
I'm going to have to find this game and play it. I want to try it.
There is an end to the game. It's not really just a joke.
Well, you know, they do have it on like the 80 packs because it was an official Sega game. You can get them in, and those have a save. So you can buy those. They have them at like Bed Bath & Beyond and Target. Yeah, you know, look on the back. He's always in those, and that's kind of cool. You get for 80 games for like $40. I mean, it's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
And you can actually save it, and that will be a way that you might be able to actually win it.
You know, I have an emulator a buddy did up for me. I'll bet you it's on there. I bet you anything on there.
But I've got one of the little Sega Genesis with a bunch of games loaded into it. It might be in there, actually.
You have to check when you get home. That'd be cool. That'd be so freaking cool.
But, not to switch gears on you, Robert, but, I've been following you on Facebook, and we're really excited to have you at Torgs. Really excited to meet you. And then I've also been seeing you've been doing a lot of other stuff, too. You're working on, what is it, Build-A-Beast game right now?
Yeah, Build-A-Beast game. I try to do, in this field, any creative field, you have to really reinvent yourself. I mean, you know, when I started out, I'd do a show. There was me and a couple other guys, you know, who were artists or whatever. And now even smaller regional shows will have, you know, 40 to 50 artists. So it's kind of competitive. But I'm kind of lucky because I started so long ago that, you know, I have a foundational core cult following that have followed me through all my different incarnations, if you speak. So I did the video game that led me into doing a lot of work in the toy and game industry. Art directors wanted me to do paintings for their different card games and like Galactic Empires, things like that, like Magic Clone type stuff. And then I started making my own, designing my own games. I did a game called Dragon War, which is a cult classic. People dig that. Places at like Dragon Con down in Atlanta, you know, I sell out every time I bring stacks of that stuff. Wow. So that's kind of a neat thing. And so, you know, I always do things I want to see and what I want to draw, because I feel if I do it, someone else is bound to like it, you know, hopefully. But the Build-A-Beast thing is kind of a fun thing. It's just going to be a couple different card games you can play with these, you know, these monsters that have like a head, a body, and a feet. They're segmented, and you can mix and match them. And I have all kinds of them, everything from mythological creatures to robots, you know. So it's kind of all the pop culture genre stuff that I like kind of refiltered through my eyes, and I tried to put a cool little style to it. And a lot of that stuff, you know, like I said, you can go to the Rack Graphics Facebook page and see a lot of that stuff that I'm working on. But I work on – the way I work is I work on a lot of things at the same time. It's polysyncratic, I guess they call it. So like today I was writing – a Shaykan story, but just yesterday I was working on those monster games. So it keeps me fresh and just, you know, gives me a break so I don't burn out on the writing aspect.
Gotcha.
You know, the drawing, and then I can do a game design to kind of test my mind and see what I can do. But yeah, I like mixing it up. I mean, that's the thing. You don't want to be the guy that, I mean, I've met a lot of artists where they kind of plateau at a certain level or a certain style. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to like, you know, take chances, man. I mean, isn't that what it's about? Yeah. I mean, you know, I could easily repeat myself over and over again and just keep doing the same Shaykan story or the same Dragon War expansion over and over. But that's not what you want to do. Longevity as a creative, you have to expand your boundaries, expand your audience, expand, you know, what you do. So that's what I try to do. I push myself to not be comfortable. I'll take a chance. Sometimes
you can, like you said, set toe, stand on something that's probably working right now. Doesn't mean it's going to keep working for you.
Well, I started in the comic industry, and it's a brutal industry. And, you know, to your point, I see a lot of, you know, well-known pros and stuff that were, you know, legendary contributors to the Marvel and DC comics. And, you know, they haven't had a book for 15 years. And it's a shame. And the one thing I always stress to younger artists and creatives is start your own company. Learn how to do your own thing. Because like you said, you know, you might be called in after being an associate editor and an artist on a title for 60 issues and be told, hey, your style's old fashioned. We don't need you anymore. You know, that's not a good place, but that's happened a lot, shamefully, in the comic book industry.
Oh, yeah. We've heard quite a few of those stories for this show, haven't we? Yeah. It's not a forgiving business. And that's, I guess, why we love the community, because everyone's so eager to help each other out because it's such a cutthroat industry. You know what I mean?
Right. I never hold back information. I tell people, you know, my sources of for printing, all that stuff. You know, you know, like you said, you have to cooperate. You know, I don't compete with anybody but myself, and it's worked out good for me all these years. Like I said, I started out as a, you know, a little publisher in Akron, Ohio. Shay Khan has sold 250,000 books. I mean, that's a quarter of a million books. I never would have thought that when I started out. I mean, this is, you know, and still he has a lot of growth potential because a lot of people haven't heard of him still. So it's kind of neat, you know.
He has kind of a timeless look to him too. He doesn't have a look that ages. He doesn't look like a character that's in the 90s or whatever.
He's got a very unique look.
He's got a unique look, but a timeless look that just no matter when you see it, he looks badass.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially in the world we're living in now, where like superheroes are like everything.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, and I think that's why they like the character, because his silhouette was so different. You know, he's kind of has the super wide hat and things like that that does make him stand out. I mean, when I created the character, I went to New York to try to get work. When I was young, I was 20. I was right out of, I was still in college, art school, and I went there. I stayed in New York for a couple months, trying to talk to editors and of different book companies, trying to do book covers, things like that. And I created him. And when I sat down to create him, I was like, I want to create a character that I want to see in a comic book. And, you know, that's when I realized I didn't want to see one. You know, I didn't want to draw Spider-Man. I love the character. I grew up with collecting the character. Batman, I love him. But that's not me. That's not my influences. That's not what I want to do. And so I came up with this character that had this very strange look. But, you know, I'm a lifelong martial artist, so I know about swords and I know about, you know, things like that. So I put that type of stuff into the character.
And I'm sure the readers and players or whatever pick up on that too. You know, that stuff definitely shows through when there's actual inspiration or actual knowledge into the creation. You know what I mean? Rather than just drawing two generic swords, right. I'm sure those swords are a very specific kind of sword.
The passion, you know, bleeds through.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and in the books, when he's, you know, taking apart an opponent, you know, when he's attacking them, you know, you hear his, you know, his tactical knowledge, how he's, you know, doing the joint dislocations, things like that. I can throw in there because I studied Qinan, different things like that. So, you know, he has that type of knowledge that you just can't make up. You have to experience and know how it feels to have your arm, you know, arm barred and things like that. So, you know,
I don't know if I want to experience that. But I'll take your word for it. But I want to encourage our listeners to head over to rackgraphics.com. That's rakgraphics.com. Robert, is there anywhere else we should be directing people to check more of your stuff out?
Well, like I said, the Facebook, the Rack Graphics on Facebook is a good place. And then I have a really great fan page for Shay Khan. It's Shay Khan the Forever Man on Facebook. And pinned to the top of that page, I have the number one issue, the one that inspired the video game. It's pinned to the top in full colors, 72 pages. It's free. Sweet. People can read it.
Wow. I like people. How about that?
Go there and really dig the, you know, and I didn't touch up the art. I just colorized it from the original black and white graphic novel. So it's, you have the essence of what the character is right there. And I do drop on that page, graphic novella stories, so people can beta read them and stuff like that. I believe in giving a lot of material. And on the website, you'll see there's short animation shorts and stuff like that that are free. Everything's free on the website. There's free stories, everything. So I've been very blessed and with the character. He's paid a lot of bills for me, so I like people to have a lot of free Shaykan stuff to get to know the character, and I hope they want to follow his adventures and see if he gets that rematch with the Reaper, man. That's what it is.
That is awesome, though. That is so awesome. And congratulations to you on all your success with the character. That's what an awesome feeling it must be.
You know, it's more than I ever thought possible when I was a kid. So sure. It's been a hell of a good career for me. So I guess so.
That's awesome, man. Well, Robert, thank you so much for being here with us today, man. This has been great.
Well, like I said, it's not my normal thing. You guys really helped make me feel comfortable there, and you guys are very pro, dude. I just love I'll be listening to you from now on. When you get this thing done, let me know, and I can post it on my three sites and stuff. That way, try to get you some more listeners there. I think you guys deserve it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No problem.
Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to canned air podcast.com, where you can check out show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, see some YouTube videos, buy some merch, become a patron, or Baby Yoda. If you like our work, God, I screwed myself up. And if you want to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget to find us on Twitter, again, at CannedAirPod, and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And again, you want to support the show, you want to get access to that Patreon pod, and all the future things we have coming your way, well, then just head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod, where you can do just that. For $5 a month, get you in on that show, and there's going to be higher tiers that get you even better content. Radio dramatizations, yes. Us playing trivia, and even some gifts, like actual tangible things, mm-hmm. Not just audio, tangible items.
For Canned Air, yes.
So how about that? How about that shit? What else we got, guys?
So rather than trying to promote your show that I'm not on, I'm going to throw out a plug for myself this time. I went on with the Debate This Guys, who you went on.
Yes, had a good time with them.
That episode will be dropping next week. But I had a great time with those guys. Mm-hmm. They just take a premise like which color of Yoshi's the best and start arguing back and forth about it. It's mm-hmm. real lighthearted and a lot of fun. So
Yeah, they're fun guys.
Yep. So I'll be on their next episode, and I'll probably link that on the Facebook page. So check out What If with you guys.
We have another podcast called What If that we need to get cracking on again. Mm-hmm. We've been kind of let it fall to the wayside, but... it's a show that myself, Jack Doherty here, and Ryan Little do, where every episode we look at a new twist on reality. What if we could control the weather? What if the world actually were flat? What else, Jack?
What if Krampus really did exist?
Well, yeah, we did that one too, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Didn't we? And then we talk on the topic for about 40 minutes, as realistically as possible. If this little change were in effect, how would it butterfly effect into the rest of the world? So check that out. What If series, I would search in your podcast player of choice, or you can just search Canned Air Productions and bring up this show and that one. What else am I forgetting? Anything?
That's it.
I think that's everything in a nice little package.
That's an episode.
Until next week, I am Jeremy Colley.
I am Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Rack.
Thanks for listening, everyone. But he was still trapped! Squealy versus Squealy over here. Go Squealy.
And the truck door comes in the night!
Hey, Joey, the pond's frozen. Watch me ice skate.
Wait, come back. The ice could break.
Whoops. Help.
Quickly, walk back to the edge.
Stop, you'll break through the ice.
Snow job!
Grab this branch. You should have been listening to Canned Air.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Snow job, how'd you get your name?
G.I. Joe.
Not bad.
That's it.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.